Man, that's powerful. We bow down. Thank you so much, praise team. I want to share with you just several things, several thoughts. But I want to begin by telling you, every once in a while I'll tell you a story about my kids. You probably hate hearing about my kids, but it's kind of the world, you know, that I'm in right now. Me and my three-year-old daughter, we play a game, and we do this every night before she goes to bed. And we do it every time I get ready to leave. And the game is, her name's Molly, is she'll come up and I pick her up and we kiss on the lips and we count to fives and we do five kisses. I'll go, mwah, one, mwah, two, mwah, three, mwah, four. And then we go, mwah, six. And we go, oh, we gotta start over. And she loves the game because it's fun. And I love the game because I get to kiss her. It's my daughter. And so I think of the fullness of that. And so Mildred hates it because Molly say, Mommy, come here. We got to show you something. You're just going to kiss five times. No, we're not, Mommy. Mildred would come in and Molly go, three. Oh, we got to start over. And I tell you that because there's fullness in that. Like, you know, I feel like I know I'm going to have regrets at the end of my life. I know it. How many of you know you're going to have regrets at the end of your life? Here's the deal, though. Right now, you get to choose what those regrets are. And I was at a pastor's retirement party. And the chairman of the deacons said to the pastor's three kids, and of course, they were adults now, obviously. The pastor's retired. The chairman of the deacon said to the pastor's children, we want to thank you for sacrificing your daddy so that he could be our pastor. And of course, everybody applauded because that sounded so honorable. And Mildred and I sat back here in the back and I said, Lord, may I never sacrifice my children for anything like that. And so, you know, there's fullness in that relationship. So we play the kissing game, and it's awesome. And I'm going to relate this to how we should treat each other. But I'm going to do it with warning. Because already some guys are like, oh, I need to move. Hi. One. And there's fullness. Peter writes, and he says, finally, all of you. Did everybody get that? There's only one way this isn't about you. Because he says, finally, all of you. How can you be exempt from what Peter's getting ready to say? There is one right answer. How can you be exempt? Peter says, finally, all of you. I refuse to go on till somebody answers that question. What? If you are not a believer, you are exempt from whatever Peter's getting ready to say. He says, finally, all of you, that's every one of us here who are believers in Jesus, live in harmony with one another. Now, I want to clarify here, live in harmony. How many of you know what harmony is? Okay, several of you. Somebody said Keith. No, you know what? I can't go there. I can't say that harmony is peace. Because I can be at peace with you just if I just leave you alone. That's it. There'd be no conflict, no war, no dissolution, no anything like that. So it's got to be more than just to be at peace. I mean, especially the way our government describes and would define that. It's got to be more. And so he uses a musical term here. He says, live in harmony. And there's something about harmony. Like, it's pretty awesome for one person to get there and sing. By the way, Keith, I didn't know you could hit those low notes. Man, son, was that powerful?
I bow.
It was awesome. It was awesome. I could do it with the mic off. But anyway, harmony. And so it's this idea that there are these parts. How many, Keith? Oh, okay, I'm totally confused. There's three parts, Keith says. I'm going to trust him on that one. I thought there was four. Are you sure? Southern Gospel, there's four. So Keith doesn't... What? All right. Okay. Anyway, I'm way over my head here. And so in the preaching department, we're just going to say, we're going to agree with Keith, there's three parts. And so the whole idea here, when Peter says, finally, live in harmony, it's more than just like not fighting. It's more than that. But there's something, it's about fullness. And so I told you the story about me and Molly kissing, like sometimes, some nights, 30 times that we'll play, you know, because the most disappointing thing to me is when she gets to that last one and she says, five. That means she's tired of kissing daddy. Or she'll say, your beard hurts, I'm done, or whatever, you know. And there's a fullness. And so like that's one of the ways I describe the fullness of my relationship with Molly. And so there's these different parts. And what Peter's saying here is, I'm not just saying come together, hang out. But he's saying that there's fullness when all these parts are working together. Thus, he says, harmony. And here's what is so tough. And like, here's one of the really frustrating things as a pastor. You want to hear it? I wonder what it is about being in here. You're just a little less interactive. What do you think it is? Can't see my nose hairs? Is that it? Listen, I just want to encourage you. Just be really interactive. Just like always. So there's these parts and they're all working together. And here's the toughest thing as a pastor. It's like you just are always talking to people in the church who can't stand somebody else in the church. Or they got something to say about somebody in the church. Or they got something to say about somebody on staff. That's not harmony. And a matter of fact, if that's you, you are missing it. Because guess what I have found about people who are complaining about everybody else? They're the ones missing the harmony. And most others seem to be enjoying that and embracing that. But the reason the Bible, there's so much written in the New Testament about how we live and interact with each other. And really, this is kind of like about Christian social graces. Have you ever met anybody that like had no idea about personal space? All right, isn't that awkward? Pastor James, I need to ask you something. I'm always thinking, is it about a mint or a piece of gum? Because you're, yes. I can answer everyone. And there's something awkward about it. But it's even more awkward as believers when all these people are watching us and they don't want to have anything to do with Christianity because of all the Christians that they see. Because if we were living in harmony with one another, I mean, remember the old Coke commercial? I'd like to teach the world in perfect. Wow. Hey, Keith, we got a little Wednesday night choir here. That's good. Just go back to your magazine. I'm sorry. So anyway, the whole idea here is that there is a way that we're supposed to be doing community together. And so one of the pot shots that Hillview takes from a lot of people is, well, it's just so big, people don't like it. I've never just understood that. I mean, because isn't it amazing if people just give you down the road about your church? Like, it doesn't surprise me people would give other people down the road about our church. But, like, people give me down the road about our church. And it's kind of like Yogi Berra once said of a popular restaurant, it's so crowded, nobody goes there anymore. And so at Hillview, okay, I thought it was profound. But anyway, some of you are like, wow. Wait, because if, okay, anyway, so we're all together. So you understand what I'm saying? And so here we are, and God is calling us to be more than just these people who are like Christians. He's saying, I want you to be out there. So like, it's really late, Saturday night, and I'm getting off Cemetery Road exit, and there's this car on the side of the road, and its flashers are on, and right when I get by, this guy like steps into the road and does this, and like I almost hit him, you know, and I stop and I go on. Of course, I've just been preaching. I'm just like, oh, gosh. And as I'm backing up to go back to him, I'm thinking, I can see the headlines now, pastor shot dead, you know, because he's, you know, so anyway, and you know, the window like half rolls down and, you know, so the guy's like, oh, he's like, and he says, I said, hey man, of course I asked the stupidest question, need any help? You know, it's like, there's your sign, right? Okay. So anyway, and he says, man, do you have any jumper cables? I'm like, yes. I'm like, no, I cleaned out the van today and I got rid of all that unnecessary stuff that was in there. So I don't even have jumper cables. I said, I tell you what, I'll call and get you some help. He goes, yeah, that's what the last guy said.
I said, no, seriously, I'm a pastor. I'll get you some help. He goes, from where? I said, Hillview Heights. He goes, that's what the last guy said. And I was like, my name's Jamie. I was waiting for him to say, that's what the last guy said, you know. And so I'm like, no, seriously, dude, I'm going to get you some help. I'm for real. And I'm thinking, I don't want to go home, get the jumper cables, go back to cemetery, because then you got to go all the way and get on the interstate, you know, because you can't back down. You know what I'm saying? This is going to be a lot of trouble. And Molly's going to be there waiting to kiss me like 30 times, right? And so the guy's like really bold. He's like, whatever, you ain't going to help me, buddy. Yeah, as I'm driving away. And so I was called the sheriff's department. Say, there's a guy, he's up here on the exit, and he's kind of leaning out in the road, because I figure if I said something kind of dangerous like that, they'd go, right? And so they go and get the guy. And they take him to the Junior Food Mart. And I don't know if you ever know where the Junior Food Mart is over there on Cemetery Road. Like, you can see it, but you can't get to it. You know what I'm talking about? You got to drive like 7 miles and make a left and another left, and then you come back to it, right? So if you run out of gas, just go through the grass. I've done that. And so here, so anyway, later, I get a call from the church has a pager service if you have an after-hour emergency. And so I get a call, and the lady on the call thing says, this guy said that some pastor was trying to help him. And she said, it was kind of a short, heavy guy. And I was like, no, he's wrong. I helped him. Like my son, I was going to tell the story later, but I'll tell it now because it fits here. And you know, I asked my son, I was like, hey, son, does this shirt make me look fat? And he goes, no, Daddy, your belly does. we're gonna talk about that later. But anyway, so the lady says, Jamie helped him. She goes, and you know, she knew who I was. She goes, so I figured it was you. Did you help him? I was like, yeah. I said, well, he's on the line. And I was like, huh, yeah, I guess he's going to say, hey, I'm sorry for doubting you. You came through. You did help me. You kept your word. I'm like, yeah, all right. It's about time somebody appreciates a little help. He says, I'm just over here stranded at the gas station. You just going to leave me? I'm sorry. I was overwhelmed with the help that I gave you. No, I didn't say that. But, you know, it's kind of what you're thinking. And I was like, what? The sheriff just dropped me off at the gas station. I got no place to stay. I ain't got no money. And I know all the guys that work at Junior Food Mart. I was like, let me talk to Jordan. Jordan gets on the phone. I said, all right, we're going to get this guy a room tonight. We call Salvation Army, get him a room, found out they had a room. There's a hitch with Salvation Army after 10 o'clock. Only the cops can take you to the Salvation Army and for them to let you in. He wasn't having that. He said, no, I'll just sleep in the car. Well, Jordan, you know, this guy that I know, and he's like, dude, man, it's been closed for an hour. Help this guy. I got to go. I can't just leave him here. I said, do you feel comfortable taking him to Salvation Army? He goes, no. So I got off the phone. I just called the sheriff. Said, y'all need to go pick that guy back up and take him somewhere. You got a jail or something. Guy can sleep for the night. Why? Why? I mean, why even stop? And can I just say, just real quick, newsflash here, I'm just not recommending y'all to stop. Did everybody hear that? It's not always smart or wise, especially if you're alone, and I was alone that night, so that's not throwing that out there. This isn't the message tonight. So stop when somebody's on the side of the road. That's not it. Get them some help, though. You can call somebody, call 911, something, get somebody's help. But why? I mean, why should I do that? I done preached the gospel that night. Three kids got saved. It's a powerful night. A lot of people came to the altar. I mean, hadn't I done my good thing for the day? I was tired. I had to listen to some half country, half Christian radio station that came in and out, right? I mean, you know, I suffered a little bit. So why? I mean, why should we do that? Why should I preach this? I mean, aren't we just good enough? You see, Peter's saying, I want you to live in harmony. And here's the implication. Because two implications. One is, you don't have to live in harmony if you don't want to. And you know what? A lot of people have chosen not to. Some of you here tonight have chosen
not to. Here's the second implication. It is an unbelievable life if you will live in harmony. You will meet people you never would have met. You will go places you never would have gone. You will experience things. All right, I got you. You will experience things that you would have never experienced. And so, like, the whole message tonight, what Peter's trying to say here isn't like, just do this stuff because God's watching. He's got a lightning bolt. If you don't do it, you know, and listen, I'm a Christian, so I certainly don't believe in karma, right? If I hadn't helped the guy, then something bad might have happened to me. I don't believe that. But there is something going on here. He says, finally, all of you live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. I don't meet a lot of people with sympathy today. Because it's like everybody's got their problems. And their problems are bigger than everybody else's. You ever met anybody like that? No matter what you've got going on, they've got something worse that's going on. So much so that you just don't even want to say when it's been a bad day, right? You know, that's kind of how my day started today. Or coming here tonight, Mills was not feeling good, so I went home to get the kids. Well, that's four kids, you know, that I'm going to get. And of course, they're not dressed. You know, I'm like, honey, you know, I'm trying to help you, you know. And there's Allie, and I'm like, Allie, come here. Well, she decided she was going to help me a little bit, so she took her diaper off, which typically wouldn't have been a problem. But she had made a deposit in the diaper, which constituted not just putting a diaper on her, but cleaning her feet, her ankles. Is that too much information? Like some of you are like, and you know, the living room, the hallway, the kitchen, where it all started. And I'm like yelling at everybody, find the diaper. I want somebody where does this trail end? So I'm like, Sam, go get the diaper. And he's like, I'll take a spanking. Because he knows if he's disobedient, he's getting a spanking. So he's like, I'll just be in the room. Glad I'm here strictly for your amusement. I hope you at least leave saying, we ain't got it that bad. He's fat and he's got poop all over the house. So here's the deal. Be sympathetic. Be, yeah, you're real sympathetic right now. I'm feeling it. You're laughing with me, right? But I made an observation. I ain't laughing. So, all right, so here we go. Be sympathetic. Have sympathy. I got to be honest, when I saw that guy and his thumb came out, as soon as he did, I just felt like, I got to help this guy. And guess what I didn't want to do? I didn't want to help him. I didn't stop because I have all kinds of sympathy. Oh, he's on the side of the road. Oh, because I've been on the side of the road. You know, and you're like, and when people go by, other fingers go up, right? I mean, you've seen it when you don't pick them up, right? And I've been on the side of the road and think, what's wrong with people today? They don't stop anymore. You know, and I'm driving like, well, he looks dangerous, you know, and I'm going on. Be sympathetic. Have sympathy for each other. He's like, that needs to be a trait, because guess what happens in the world? Your boss doesn't care that your car broke down, how long it took you to get there. Your boss doesn't care about all that. The people you work with, they don't care about all that. And so Peter's saying this, and so those of us who are followers of Jesus, let's blow the world away and have what? Sympathy. Because that'll blow people away. That you care. Now, obviously, I gave you an example of a guy that wasn't very grateful for the help that he did get, you know. But most of the time, it blows people away. I've told you about going to the laundromat. You know, we were giving away stamps on Monday, April 17th, like the new tax day for this year or whatever. And we're giving away stamps, and people are just, you know, you're holding stamps, and they're like, you know, like, well, if I touch that, what do I have to do? You know, it's like, hey, we're just giving away stamps. Why? Show you the love of Jesus in a practical way with no strings attached. That's weird. I'll take three. You know? And people don't understand it. You know, this young lady came in with her mother and they were mailing something away. And we gave them these stamps, told them what was going on. They come back out and the mother says to Dave Jantz, she goes, "Sir, my daughter leaves for Italy tomorrow and she'll be gone for about 6 months. Would you pray with us?" Now, I don't want to read too much into that story because I don't know any more about it, but it kind of tells me something. You know, I probably wouldn't ask a stranger for prayer if I really needed it. Why? Because I'd ask my pastor, ask my wife to pray for me, I'd ask you guys to pray for me. I just got a ton of people I could ask to pray for me. So why would you ask a stranger to pray for you? You know, I don't know. But I just kind of felt like they asked because in their world they couldn't think of anybody else that would pray for them. And I may be wrong, you know. But there was something about the sympathy that was shown there. Peter says, be sympathetic. Love his brothers. And man, doesn't that conjure up a lot of images? I mean, Sam and Will, they're out there on the trampoline, just slugging it out, hitting each other. They're mad, you know. We watched Ultimate Fighting, so every once in a while I've helped Will because he's smaller and I've showed him what a rear naked choke hold is. No matter who you are, it'll knock you out in about 30 seconds. And I have to run out there on the trampoline. Sam's turning blue, you know, and Will's behind him. And they're brothers. But here's what defines their brotherhood. Because when the little neighbor kid pushes Will, Sam ain't having that. Only Sam can beat Will up. The neighbors can't. Nobody else can. Love is brothers. And that means this, man, that my sister, if she called tonight and said, "I need you here tomorrow," do you know what? I don't think twice about that. She's my sister. I'm there. What do you need? I want to be there. And he's saying, love his brothers. And so that means, man, we're going to be there for each other. And I wanted to blow my neighbors away. Like Mildred had a good friend come in from Colorado. And we didn't know it, but the weekend that she came to stay with us, she sent out like letters to 20 people that we know and love. And she said, "We're painting Jamie and Mildred's house. I need everybody there that weekend." And it was weird. On Friday, we're hanging out with Steph, and all of a sudden people start showing up. And they got paintbrushes and all this stuff. And dude, we got like almost the entire house painted in a weekend. There's like 20 people painting. It's incredible. I felt so bad watching ESPN in the bedroom. It was wild. And my neighbor's like, "Dude, what's going on?" I was like, "Man, all these people show up to paint our house." And he's like, "What?" Well, yeah, it's wild. And they were all people from different churches that we had served at in the past. Some we hadn't seen in years. And they showed up. "Hi, guys." And they had a paintbrush. And my neighbor was just kind of blown away. He's like, "That's weird." And what he meant was, "I wish I had 15 friends like that to come paint my house." We're to love as brothers. Be compassionate. Be compassionate. Man, I'm telling you, compassion is a lost thing in our world, especially in America. And we're just having compassion for ourselves. "Oh, gas is so expensive. We'll get a bike." Hush. Guess who's paying for it? Everybody. Nobody else gets a discounted rate unless you got a Kroger Plus card. You swipe that and it's a little bit cheaper. Used to be a dime, but I think it only went down like 3 cents now with the Kroger Plus card. So anyway, compassionate. To have compassion. To have compassion. I was at church, a different church I serve, and this guy comes up to me at Christmas time, and when he shakes my hand, I can tell there's something in his hand. And so he says, "I just want to be a blessing to you and your family." You know, and I was like, man, it worked. We had our kids not wear shoes for a month. That's a joke, all right? Okay. And so it was $100 bill. And I was so excited, man. I'm already thinking what we're going to do. And Mildred comes up. She goes, "See that woman over there?" She said, "Her husband's been gone for a month. They don't know where he's at. They're sure he's taken off somebody else. She's got the 3 kids, and they are really struggling." She was just sharing. She goes, "Do you think we could give her $100? I was like, "We can give her 50 if she's got change." Isn't that good? I didn't say that, obviously. And I was thinking, that's what it means to be compassionate. To be compassionate.
And that means if I've got it, then you're going to have it. And if you need it and I've got it, then you're not going to need it anymore. Because I'm going to have compassion. And listen, we're not just talking about money. Not everybody has money to give, but everybody has something that they can give. So all these people showed up painting our house, and they all didn't have money. But man, they had a paintbrush. And they showed up for a weekend, and it just kind of blew me away. And so, you know, we got to have compassion. And Peter's telling us, have compassion. And he's talking specifically for each other. Have compassion. He goes on to say, and be humble. So we didn't take that $100 and say, come here, young lady, I have $100 I would like to give to you there. To be humble. I'm just going to do what I can do. And if I can do it without you knowing I did it, that would be awesome. So you would never know. So you never feel like you owe me anything. You never feel like anything awkward, you know. But how come we don't act like that anymore? I mean, we're followers of Jesus. And I got to tell you, even if like you're here tonight and you're struggling to pay the bills, I got to tell you, we've been given so much. We have been given so much. And so like, here's the greatest thing that I have to give is the love of Jesus. And I can give that. But Peter knows if I don't have sympathy, and if I won't love as a brother, and if I'm not compassionate and I'm not humble, then I'm not giving it. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Now, can I tell you what he's saying here? Because I had to read this a couple times. The first time I ever read 1 Peter. And here's what he's saying. Do not repay evil with evil, but with blessing. Do not repay insult with insult, but with blessing. So when they show you evil, when they show you insult, you react, you respond, you return blessing. Do you know how to be a blessing? Every once in a while somebody asks, you know, how do I be a blessing? You see a need and you meet it. You see a need and you meet it as best you can. Remember, the model we have in Acts 2 is that they didn't just give out of superabundance, although they did that. They gave out of need. And that's an important thing. And so what we're being shown here is there's a way to act. Mildred called me one day. She goes, did you pay the electric bill? I was like, of course. Why? The electric's off. I looked through my little stack of bills and there's the bill. I said, huh, well, let me go down there and see what's going on. I hadn't paid the bill. You know, so I go down there and I'm just a little aggravated because I didn't feel like I got the bill in a proper time. Whatever. It's just a horrible day. I'm feeling sorry for myself. And I'm going down there and I'm thinking I'm just going to let these people have it. Shutting the electric off. I've always paid the bill. Well, I mean, what's the deal? And I mean, yeah, I'm waiting there in line. And next thing I know, there's this person working back there. And that's the person I'm targeted in. They're the one that's going to get it. They probably didn't pull the switch, right, on my house. But they're the one. I'm going to let them know how I feel. And just right as I get up there and it's my turn, the person says, hey, Pastor Jamie. Hey, you have a pen? Write you that check. There you go. Great doing business with you. Tell them to turn the electric back on. Thank you. Because we're supposed to act a certain way. Because don't you know 7 other idiots done gave her down the road because they didn't pay their bill? And it was her fault every time? And so Peter's saying there's a way that you got to act if you're a follower of Jesus. And not just in and of yourself, but there's a way that you should relate to one another, to each other. And so like, man, if I'm grilling out and the neighbors are watching and I got some of you over there, it ought to be like really interesting to them. Who are these people? Because you know we're all going to be sitting there going, 1, 2, you know, probably something like that. And they're going to see a love that they've never seen. Or love maybe that they've only heard about. And so there's a way that we've been called to live our life. He says, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. Why? Do that with blessing. Because to this you were called so that you may inherit a blessing. I want to end by telling you this. You guys can come.
You see, you cannot earn your way to heaven. Does everybody understand that? You can't earn your way to heaven. It's a gift of God so that nobody can boast. And last week, we kind of really dealt heavily with the whole idea that salvation is God's deal, not ours, right? He saves us. We can't save ourselves. But there is something that you can earn in heaven. And the scripture is sprinkled with these verses that indicate that there are going to be rewards in heaven. Guess how you get these rewards? By being obedient. By repaying evil with blessing. By repaying insult with blessing. And I firmly believe this. I don't know how that's going to work, because I know in heaven there's no jealousy. So I don't know how the whole reward system works, because if I walk in, you know, and I got this little crown on, and you come walking up, bling, you know. Hi, Pastor Jamie. That's awkward. I don't know how all that's going to work. But I know this. God is calling me to love. He's calling, come back, come back. He's calling me to be sympathetic. He's calling me to be compassionate. He's calling me to be a blessing, not only to my brothers and sisters, but to a lost and dying world. And I found out about this incredible evangelistic heart of God. You all right? You can go onto the altar. You don't have to wait. That I find when God is telling us to do something, I always see eternal significance attached to it. And so already I believe God has put somebody in your life and you don't even know they're there. And all they're doing is watching because they've heard that you're a follower of Jesus. And because they've tried everything there is to try and there's no more hope for them, they're watching you to see, maybe is there something to this really? Is there something really about this Jesus? And that's why Peter would write, so be compassionate, be sympathetic, be humble, be a blessing. Because there's somebody in your life right now, and God has sent you to them to be a blessing. Have you been obedient with that? Have you loved as a brother? Because if you're just showing up for worship on Wednesday night and Sunday, and all you do is show up, you are missing this incredible life that God has called us to live. You're missing it. And so it's not about showing up. It's about participating. It's about being a part. It's about saying He's not just the Savior of my life, but He's the Lord of my life. And I'm going to do what He's called me to do. And so Peter writes a powerful letter here. And he's saying, here's how you ought to conduct yourself. Here's how you ought to live. Here's how you ought to love. Here's how you ought to be a blessing. And I'm going to say this, and forgive my underestimation, but I'm going to say that probably most of us here tonight, we've not been living that way. It's really easy in America just to kind of focus on us and our troubles and our problems and what's going on here. But God is calling us. Everybody look up here. God is calling us beyond ourselves. He's calling us beyond ourselves. So how will you respond to God? So here's what I want to do. You know, I always like the altar call to be very specific. So two things tonight. Because I also like it to be honest. If you're just sitting there and you know, man, you know what? I'm not living this life the way God's intended for me to. I'm not. I'm not being a blessing to anybody. I've been worried about me. I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. You know why I like the altar? Because I think it takes a more serious commitment to get out of your chair, come down here to the front, bend down here. It's kind of a position of humiliation, isn't it? Be down here. And I think we're more serious about it. So that's why I love the altar. And y'all know, like, I struggle with the altar every week. Because, like, this is an incredible moment. And so if you just know you've been missing this life God's intended you to live as a believer,
You haven't been a blessing. You haven't been compassionate. You haven't loved as a brother or sister. I want to ask you to come to the altar tonight. And here's the second thing, and this is always the altar. There's some of you here tonight, and your issue is none of this stuff. Your issue is you're not a follower of Jesus. And I want to plead with you tonight to give your life to Jesus, to invite Him to come into your life. Ask Him to forgive you of your sin. The Bible says He's faithful and just. He'll do it. He'll forgive you. Is that incredible? And then what's the first thing He asks us to do once we become believers? To be baptized. So like I'm calling all these people all the time saying, you need to be baptized. Well, I'm not ready. What do you mean you're not ready? Well, I said, there's one prerequisite to being baptized. Being a believer. If you're a believer, you're ready for baptism. You're ready. And some of you here tonight, you've been putting it off. And I'm asking you tonight to come to this altar and not put that off anymore and say, you know what? I'll be willing to do that and we can schedule that for later. But before we stand and sing, I'm just going to ask you, if you know based on any of those three things that you need to come to the altar tonight, I want to make it really difficult. We got like 3 minutes left. And I just want to make it difficult because I'd rather have two sincere people come to the altar than a bunch of people come. If you know any of those three things fit for you, and you know you need to come to the altar, I'm just going to ask you just to get up and come right now. Don't wait for anybody else. Just get up and come now. Come on. The altar is still open. Let's stand together and we'll sing through.